About voice. Okay. To Heart of Mind Radio over the PRN.FM. And that is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of today's program. And in our first segment, we're going to be speaking with Katrina Taylor and Kamara Bay on this very sacred and wonderful place, Shasta Medicine Retreat, and we're going to be speaking about that work. And in our second segment, we'll be speaking with Greg Reitman, and he is the filmmaker of a film called Rooted in Peace. So we'll be covering that in our second segment. And so let's get started. And first, let me introduce Katrina Taylor. Katrina is a beautiful spirit, first of all. And we have been working together on a number of projects, and including doing interviews and recordings. So she is going to join me in this segment as my co-host for our discussion with Kamara Bay. So, Katrina, I'll allow you to introduce Kamara.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Catherine, for inviting me to join you today. And I'm really excited about this show. When I first visited Kamara's website, I heard her in an interview, and it was just so beautiful. And even the environment of the site itself was healing. So I just love this opportunity to share what she's doing out there in Mount Shasta. Kamara, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. I want to ask you, you created such a beautiful healing environment, and you offer such an array of just wonderful things. I can only imagine it took quite a lot to make that happen. What motivated you to pursue such an endeavor?
Well, initially, my husband and I, we moved here to this area near Mount Shasta about 5 years ago now, and the amount of healing that we experienced just from indulging in the sacred waters of this area, from taking up different meditation practices in near and around the mountain, and generally just from being in the environment itself, it just caused us a shift in both our lives, and we wanted to share this out with more people. Both of us were from the Midwest and had been in the city our whole lives, and we're generally accustomed to having community. So that was one thing we really missed once we did come to this area, that we love being here. There just weren't a lot of folks here, and we just didn't have much community. So that's kind of what spawned the idea of starting the retreat. We both do healing work, my husband and I, and we love to help others facilitate their own healing. And so that, in conjunction with just wanting to have more exposure to what the energies of this area actually are, that's what kind of prompted us starting this. So it started from a small seed of an idea, and it's really grown. And the most beautiful thing that's come out of it so far is community, because everyone that's come has become what we call now spirit family. We all have stayed connected and feel connected, and each person that come has experienced this beautiful unfolding of healing and a deepening sense of self. And it's just been beautiful all the way around for us and those that have come to partake in the healing here.
Yes, that's, I'm sorry.
No, Kamara, I noticed that you're also an intuitive and educator, spiritual counselor. You work with crystals, electronic superfoods, and also plant-based medicines. How have you woven your own gifts and skill sets and expanded it through what's offered in your retreat center?
Well, and that's been another really beautiful part for me, because it's become this interweaving of all the different works that I feel called to do, in the sense of the crystals. When people come, they have so much opportunity to acquire crystals, this being one of the best areas to do so. And so in determining what crystals they need and what they work with best, they go home with them. And so that's been a beautiful piece. And in terms of my spiritual counseling work, it's become quite expansive without it being intentional. Mostly what I was setting out to provide here was the electric superfoods, as we said, because I do all the chefing for the retreats, and we eat all organic, non-GMO, mostly live foods, but cooked foods, vegan, when we do have the cooked foods. And so that's one way that I really give my love to the world, in sharing the foods. And so one part of the retreat as well is folks being introduced to different recipes, different ways of preparing food that is healing, and coming into a deeper recognition around the fact that the food that we put into our bodies is either healing us or ailing us, and being more intentional around placing healing foods in our bodies at all times. And I was an educator for many years. I taught kindergarten and first grade, and then I went into special education, eventually becoming an autism specialist and a services coordinator for children with so-called special needs. And that actually ended up deepening my work with plant medicine, which may sound a bit taboo, but there are certain plant medicines that are really phenomenally healing for children with autism and other labels such as ADHD and things like that. So I guess it sounds like a mosh-posh of things that I do, but it's been sort of miraculous how all of those things have been interwoven in this experience of having this healing come together, because the folks that have been coming, and there's been people literally from all over the U.S., and we had one lady from Montreal, but Florida, Texas, Boston, New York, Colorado, Louisiana, California, I mean, just all over, and everyone coming with their different skill sets and also different needs. And so I've been able to share what I can bring to the table with everyone that's come, and it's been pretty beautiful in the way that people who have come have been able to share of themselves as well.
Hmm. Katrina?
Yes. That's just healing to hear. It sounds like what's needed so much these days. You offer so many, like you said, so many different healing modalities. You have the different ceremonies, meditations, the mineral springs. Can you just talk a little more about the kind of activities you have available?
Well, one of the most exciting pieces for me is the healing water that we're exposed to during the process of this exploration on this retreat, which is a highlight of being near Shasta Mountain, because there is the headwaters of the Sacramento River, which come right out of the mountain. So there's a particular place in the city where people actually come from far and wide to fill their water bottles. there at the Headwaters, and it's just really the most delicious water I've ever tasted, but it has been tested, and it's known to be just the perfect balance of minerals for drinking, and it's also stated to be energetically really high vibrational water. So we get that water, we drink that throughout the retreat, and then there's the soaking. So we call ourselves Shasta Medicine because we do have certain plant medicine ceremonies that we do during the retreat, but for me, the medicine is really in the environment, the nature, and then this specifically the waters. So the first place that we start with the retreat is at Stewart Mineral Spring, which is, again, coming from Mount Shasta. It's actually formed by two streams that come together off the mountain. And when those streams combine, they create a mineral content very, very high in silica, sulfur, many other trace minerals, and it's super high vibrational water, and it's very healing hydrotherapeutic experience. We bathe in the water warmed up, and then there's a gorgeous sauna there to heat up after that, and then there's the actual cold creek outside, the mineral creek, where we jump into it. And so that's called a round, where you soak in the warm water, then you heat in the sauna, then you jump into the cold water. And it's an amazingly healing process. It builds your body's resilience and resistance, enhances the immune system. Toxins are being pulled out of you when you soak in that water. And then at the same time, minerals are being absorbed by your body. And a lot of people have really emotional responses as well to the physical responses to soaking in that water. And then we lodge there. It's a retreat center there as well. We lodge there for a night or two as well, which is really beautiful because we stay right on the creek and you can smell the minerals coming off the creek and go to sleep to the sound of the rushing water and wake up to it. And it's very meditative. It's very peaceful. And this is a really beautiful way to kind of ground into the energies here in Shasta. So we always start there, and the people just absolutely love it. So then we also have, being that we're the Mount Shasta area here is literally right at the border of Oregon and Northern California, we also explore some hot springs in Oregon with a different mineral content, different water, another water area with a really rich, really beautiful history, this particular area. Natives from as far south as L.A., as far north as Canada, used to walk to this area for this water. It's at about 9.6 alkaline. It's really high, again, in sulfur, but this water has a lot of lithium as well, and people just swear by the healing that they've experienced in terms of different ailments in their body, aches in the back and things such as that. Very healing water, again. And so there's actually three separate opportunities. We also often go to a wild hot spring, and that's in California, Northern California, Big Bend, and soak there out in the woods in a hot spring that's coming right out of the mountain. So there's so many experiences with water that are really beautiful. And if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Emoto and his team from Japan, they studied water vibrationally and how it crystallizes. And they came here and studied the water in the Shasta area, particularly at Stewart Mineral Springs, and stated that out of all over the planet, it was the most high vibrational water that they'd found. And so that's one of the special things that about this area of Mount Shasta, which is considered the root chakra of the planet.
Yes, that's, I've heard that, and I'm familiar with the work of Dr. Emoto. That's just fascinating. And you've mentioned how, you know, being there for your family was the impetus for your even pursuing this to share it with others. Are there any other ways that your life has changed since starting the center? And, if we could talk about that just a little.
Well, I think, I could say that for me, my relationship with Mother Nature, for lack of a better word, to Mother, our planet, and just the recognition of what sort of being in the woods and being out in the elements can do for one's own relationship with self. And it sounds simple, and maybe too simple, but it really is, and especially healing, I think, for people like me who came from quote-unquote concrete jungle, you know, to be able to experience this deepening appreciation of the beauty of nature has really been phenomenal. And then my relationship to the various plant spirits that we work with and a deepening appreciation for plant medicine and the healing that is offered for anything that diseases one, the healing that can be offered from plants. And so there's many, many herbs that grow wild and are wildcraft here in this area right now. St. John's wort is wild everywhere you look. We do a lot of foraging for mushrooms. Again, we love to eat live and wild foods as well. It's particularly in Oregon, really great foraging for chanterelles and morels. If you know your mushrooms, those are delicious. So again, this is, for me, you know, those two things stand out the most. When we do our retreats, we do ceremony. We do a cacao ceremony, which is appreciation and holding reverence for the plant spirit of the cacao plant, which is what chocolate is derived from, or you may use cacao as a superfood, which a lot of people do now. It's also been viewed for many, many, many centuries as a sacred plant that assists us in many ways, particularly working in the area of the heart, physically and energetically as well, in terms of the energy body and the way that it affects the heart chakra, in opening the heart chakra and helping us to facilitate bonds with others and helping us to deepen our sense of our own love for ourselves. So in doing these ceremonies, which I had already been doing for a couple years prior to starting the retreats, but in doing them with the retreats and being able to observe how it increased the connectivity of everyone who was present, I've begun to hold that plant in even a higher reverence and have a deeper appreciation for it. So that's another thing that has grown out of this. And I have to say, it's also really beautiful just to come together and pray together. We do sweat lodge ceremony, which is a really traditional way of praying and cleansing at the same time. And it's I think, also been one of the reasons why folks that have come together here have kind of stayed and interconnected because of sharing that prayer in that way, in sort of an intimate way.
Beautiful.
And you also do the sweat lodges. Can you tell us about the sweat lodge?
Right, that's what I was saying. The sweat lodge ceremony itself, it's just a beautiful cleansing process. And for a lot of people, it especially the first time, there's a lot of growth that happens just in that one time participating in that ceremony, because the sweat lodge is actually, we have one here at our space. It is made from willow branches. My Uncle Freddie would know better. There's a particular, I think it's 26, but there's a particular number of willow branches, and it's been the way that it's been done traditionally for many, many, many generations. Originally from the Lakota tradition, but you can find it happening throughout various cultures. And those willow branches are then covered with wool blankets and then covered with tarp. And so it creates this sort of hot box, I guess you could call it. In the center there's a hole that's dug out, and everyone sits around that hole. And so the fire has started about 3 hours before the actual ceremony begins, and there's lava rock, and it's also a particular number of lava rock that are heated until they're red hot, okay? And so we go into the sweat lodge, and 7 stones are brought in each round, and those stones are red hot when they're brought in and put into the pit at the center of the sweat lodge as everyone is sitting around. And then when the doors close, we pray, and the Native peoples consider that rock, they call it grandfather. That it really, we all came from where that rock came from, basically from the heart of our Mother Earth, being lava rock. And so the rock of there is hot, and Uncle Freddie, he's a Shawnee native from Oklahoma, and he grew up amongst the elders of his tribe there on the reservation where he grew up, and he learned all these traditions, and he brought them here, and he shares them with us. So he leads our sweat lodge ceremonies, and once the stones are in, he throws cedar and mugwort and different herbs onto the stones, and then prayers are go around. People just speak their heart out, and it's pitch black dark in there. So some people initially may have like sort of a flight response, and that's a big piece of the learning that comes out of just learning of self that comes out of that ceremony, because you just breathe through that fear, which is really irrational, because we're perfectly safe inside. And a lot of people have experienced a lot of growth from just initially breathing that fear until they come to the point where they're so relaxed and feeling connected. And you have the sweat that's pouring out of you, so you're releasing, and lots of emotions are released as well. And many know and feel that there's different spirits that come, mostly like our relatives and those that are around us all the time anyway. They tend to be really happy when we pray this way, and they come around and are present as well during the ceremony. So, excuse me. I could go on and on, forgive me, about it, but it's just a beautiful process of praying together.
No, that's exactly what I want to hear. It's really wonderful to hear and experience through your sharing. I think I have time for one more question. I want to ask you, this is, you know, so amazing. What do you see as the future of Shasta Medicine Retreat?
I'm just really, I've been putting out the call from my heart and praying that this will continue to grow. Like I said, when it started from sort of just a seed idea with my husband and I that we actually spoke about for years until one day I said, look, I'm ready to just do this. And I sat down and spent about 5 days putting the website together, and that sort of was the imprint that made it real, made the idea birth. And so it's just been growing and going from there, and all I can really do is just pray that it continues to grow. Feels so good to know everyone who's come, how much it's moved them, and how they feel shifts in their lives, and I would just hope that more people would come and experience that. And so my husband and I are currently expecting our third child together, and so I also was calling out from my heart for that others would come forward that may want to facilitate different workshops and present other healing modalities and maybe bring their own groups and things like that to sort of lighten the load in terms of the amount of work I do for each retreat, and so that I could focus on the baby for a while.
Well, that's beautiful. And Katrina and I are working on creating a retreat coming up there next year. So
Hopefully we'll be able to gather enough folks who are enchanted by this space to want to go up to Mount Shasta. It's a very powerful point on the earth. And as you spoke, the environment is pristine in some measure, with the waters and the air. So it really is an opportunity for healing. We are close to the end of the segment, but I did want to ask you a little bit about these tours that you have, the Greater Lake tours, the Oregon Vineyard tours, and the one that really feels close to my heart is the Bud and Breakfast tour. So can you tell us a little bit of what that
yes,
is?
Of course,
that Bud
of course. And if I could just say one quick plug that my next actual Shasta Medicine Retreat, which sort of has the Bud and Breakfast piece interwoven within it, the retreats themselves are so multi-layered, and there's so much that we experience in those 6 days. But the next one that I'm having is actually August 17th until August 21st. And our website is shastamedicine.com, and you can get more information there. And one special thing really quickly just about these dates is that on August 21st, there is a total solar eclipse, which is really, really rare. It won't be happening again for, I believe it's about 357 years.
Wow.
Oregon is an ideal place to view that eclipse. So that'll be a piece that will be included in our next retreat. But in terms of the tours, I probably won't be really starting those again until March, being with the new baby coming. But basically, the bread and breakfast is focused in Oregon. The bud and breakfast, excuse me, tours are focused in Oregon, where there is recreational cannabis available, and many, many retreats. But I actually have my home. Our retreat center is in Northern California. My home is in Ashland, Oregon. And within a stone's throw of my home, there's about 5 dispensaries. And so we tour those dispensaries, and there are bed and breakfast there in that town where we stay. And it's a really, really nice little town, quaint little town that's an experience all in its own, being that even the water that we drink there in that town is from the mineral spring, and it has traces of lithium. And so they say this is why everyone in our town is so relaxed, because there's a bit of lithium in our drinking water there. But it's another beautiful part of living in this area. Basically, you could just drink water out of the tap in almost any of these towns in and around Mount Shasta, because the water is just so pure and clean and healthy. At our retreat center, we have wells where the water is coming alkaline right into our home. I think
sounds lovely. So,
those smaller tours are. I won't start them back again until the baby's a bit older.
All right, that sounds fair. So, give out your contact information again, so that people can find you.
So, Margie, my name is Kamara Bay, and our website is www.shastamedicine.com. That's S-H-A-S-T-A, medicine.com.
Excellent.
And beautiful. Through the site. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kamara, for coming on the show today. I look forward to coming out there. Maybe I'll make it for the eclipse.
I hope so, and I just want to thank you again. I'm just so honored to be here and to be heard. It really means a lot to me, so thank you.
The honor's all mine.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for joining us today, and I also want to thank Katrina for joining me today. Katrina Chellis, she has really been doing a lot of work and bringing all of this together so that we can share beautiful experiences like this. It's really important, I think, for us to support people who have committed their lives to doing good work, healing work, transformative work,
And with that, I want to say again, thank you to Kamara Bay of Shasta Medicine, ShastaMedicine.com. And she is an intuitive, an educator, and a spiritual counselor specializing in crystals, electronic superfoods, and plant-based medicine. And the website is ShastaMedicine.com. Katrina, do you want to give any contact information for yourself?
Currently, I'm working on my site. It's coachingbycat.me, but it's under construction. I will be putting some more content on there within the month. So.
Excellent. All right, then. Well, I thank you very much, both of you, for joining me here on Heart of Mind Radio. And this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And for those of you who didn't get those details, check our website at PRN.FM, and you will be able to go to the Heart of Mind Radio archive page, and they'll have the information and links for you to check out the information on today's show. I want you to stay tuned. Coming up in a moment, we're going to be speaking about a film called Rooted in Peace, and it's the filmmaker is Greg Reichman, so stay tuned. And bye-bye, Katrina and Kamara, for now. You are listening to Heart of Mind Radio on the Progressive Radio Network, and today we're going to be speaking with Greg Reichman. And we're going to be speaking about his film, Rooted in Peace, which, if you're living in New York, you're very blessed because you'll be able to go to a film screening on this Thursday, July 13th at the New York Open Center, or we'll give information on that. But the film itself, Rooted in Peace, challenges viewers to examine their values as Americans and human beings. Today we are at war within ourselves, with our environment, and with the world. And so this is a wonderful invitation for all of us, I do believe. And I want to thank you, Greg Reichman, who is an activist, filmmaker, author, and professional speaker. He is the founder of Blue Water Entertainment, Inc., an independent production company focusing on environmentally conscious entertainment. Widely regarded as Hollywood's green producer. And Greg Reichman produced the 2008 Sundance Audience award-winning feature film, Fuel, which presents the case for alternative energy as the fastest and most sustainable means for reducing our country's dependence on oil. And he's also a correspondent with the Huffington Post and Movie Maker magazine. So I want to say hello and welcome, Greg, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hi, Catherine. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me. So can you tell us a little something about your work and your commitment and how that comes through in your film, Rooted in Peace?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'd like to know a little bit about more about you. Our listeners know a little bit more about you and how it is that you took this direction as a filmmaker?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm from New York, and, I think it was post 9/11, and our country was changing in terms of our security. I think George W. Bush was president at the time, and, for me, it was more just understanding the nature of our civil liberties and our freedom and our rights. And, and during that time, it was sort of a culture shock and the Bush Doctrine, it sort of, everybody was a terrorist. And at that moment for me, launched me into making this film, to really examine, what it is that makes us go to war and why we do it. But the film, I think, is a much bigger sort of study in terms of holistically, the sort of looking at the science between our brain and our hearts and what makes us connect. But that really was really the impetus of wanting to make this film and to really want to, make a statement of, asking the question, are we going to live in fear or are we going to live in love? And to choose powerfully, and what that and what the stakes are, you know, when we do live in a fear state versus when we live in a, you know, in a love state.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I have to say it's the only way to really live your life if you want to have a sense of peace and joy in your life. You have to make those choices. So the film itself is said to be a bit of a memoir, but you also bring in and interview luminaries and activists who are also are offering their advice and their suggestions on how we can go about living a better life. So tell us a little more about the film itself and the people you've brought into it.
Yeah, I mean, we have an incredible roster of people, so I think anyone that's listening, you're definitely in for some good entertainment and some good, you know, insights in terms of health, wellness, and well-being. I mean, Deepak Chopra is obviously, you know, foremost, you know, who's seen in the film. We also interviewed film director David Lynch and environmental thinkers Paul Hawken and William McDonough and Lester Brown and oceanographer Fabian Cousteau. We have a bunch of doctors, interesting enough, Dr. Gina Ross, Dr. Judy Karansky, Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Alejandro Unger, that sort of give sort of, well, two of the women, Dr. Gina Ross and Dr. Judy Karansky, look at trauma, and Dr. Alejandro Unger and Dr. Mark Hyman look at alternative medicine and alternative food. Archbishop Desmond Tutu is featured in the film, Ted Turner, Pete Seeger, any of those that are in New York that are Pete Seeger fans. I think it's one of the last interviews that he did, and it was really a phenomenal experience of being with Pete. But essentially, you know, each of these characters is sort of helping me on the journey in terms of helping me evolve and really understand, you know, health, well-being, and consciousness. And so really what the journey really is it is memoir-based in terms of me sharing my experience in the first Gulf War and what it's like to live in war and the horrors of war. But, you know, also it's also the film is sort of crafted in a way where each of the particular luminaries that I meet along the way is helping me sort of, it's sort of like a puzzle, and it's helping me figure out, you know, the different pieces along my own journey and our journey in itself that each of us go on, you know, for enlightenment.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful film. I think it might be interesting also if you could tell us a little bit about that transitional space of going into war, being into war, coming home, and having that fuel your inspiration to do something so different.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I never really understood, you know, the horrors of war and the impacts of war and personally how it affects our psychological well-being. And so, you know, I was a young kid, I was 19 years old, who found myself picking avocados on a kibbutz, you know, when Saddam Hussein was, you know, sending, you know, Scud missiles, you know, into the skies of Tel Aviv, and ended up wearing a gas mask, and the horrors of wearing a gas mask are just daunting. At the time, I think, you know, we were all concerned about his biological, you know, weapons, which today, you know, we look at Syria and we look at, you know, Assad and what he's done. And so the actual threat, you know, is actually more real now than we actually really understand. For me, the roots of my journey really were born out of my experience in Japan. I was studying abroad over that summer in Sapporo at Hokkaido University, and I found myself with a bunch of friends visiting the Hiroshima monument. And it was really at that moment where, I mean, you see this huge, you know, devastating city, a bomb that destroyed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And for me, I was really in a cultural shock. And really in denial, and all my friends were crying, and and I was sort of, it was sort of sensitizing me in terms of my own experience. And when I returned back from UMass Amherst, I sort of woke up, you know, in a big dream and sweat, and you know, and realized the horrors of war. And then in that aftermath, created this idea, this crazy idea that I thought I was going to save the world by planting trees. That's sort of what came out of my head, and that really was really the impetus of me wanting to, you know, plant trees. And I think really what, you know, what I learned from Judy Kuransky, at that moment in time is that when you go through that sort of, war shock or that type of experience, it definitely polarizes the body and you move from life to death. And when you actually see death, and it really, when it confronts you, you actually, you know, holistically, your body moves you to wanting to live and to, and, you know, and I think at that moment, that's sort of like the choice that I made was, you know, I couldn't sit back at that moment of time. I really needed to propel myself to want to do something, you know, on my college campus. And then really 30 years later, you know, that same story I felt just had merit. I felt like we were repeating ourselves of what occurred in 9/11. And I almost feel like it's the same thing that's happened now in our own administration. You know, we're sort of, you know, at the beckons of what's happening with North Korea. And I think it's just, again, you know, a choice that we don't have to live in this war state. We don't have to go out and, you know, be the bully and you know, drop bombs. There is a way to sort of coexist and with other organizations and other people in the world. So I think it's really sort of an interesting film now that it still sort of has merit in terms of what's happening politically.
I totally agree with that. And I would say that you may not be planting trees, but you are planting seeds. Because people who are watching a film such as this, Rooted in Peace, will might find that inspiration and support that they might need. One of the things that I have realized is that people who are caring and want to change the world and want to make a contribution are overwhelmed, don't know where to go, don't know where to start, don't really know what they can do. And I think we have to follow our inspiration, and that's how we get there. But how would you speak to people about how they could be inspired? Or maybe you can pick a little something you might remember from the film that you felt was really inspiring, and to give people a sample of how they might benefit from watching your film, Rooted in Peace.
Well, there are many things, I think, many moments, I think, in the film where there's inspiration and there's a place where people can stop and really evaluate. I mean, for me, I think my turning point was when Deepak Chopra said, you know, you can't be an angry peace activist, you know, and I think that was sort of my turn in terms of understanding, you know, that, you know, how we behave socially impacts everything. And really, you know, if you're angry, that's not going to work and function for a holistic, you know, relationship. And so I think really where it starts is looking within and really, you know, dissecting, you know, and really understanding how you get your brain or how you find your stillness. And so for me, you know, one of the inspirations was, you know, I never meditated before. You know, I was a baseball player, I was a hockey player, I was a sports guy. You know, if you told me, you know, let's go meditate, I would look at you like, you know, you're speaking Greek. So one of the things that we learn in the film is we really get clear about the science of brain health and different forms of meditation, whether it's transcendental meditation, whether it's mindfulness meditation, but just actually what is actually happening when we actually meditate with ourselves and how it actually affects our brain and what it actually does to us physiologically. So that's one part I think a lot of people would be a big takeaway. I think the second thing is when I went up to the Santa Cruz Mountains, I learned about heart math and heart meditation. And again, I think it's really interesting, you know, what we found is that the heart, as powerful as the brain is, we found out that the heart is 10 times more powerful than the brain. And so this organization does a heart type meditation. And again, it's fascinating to just understand the mechanics of the body and the physiology and what's actually happening and the power of love. I think the third thing that the people will draw inspiration from is just understanding the science of the body and some of the things that Dr. Mark Hyman and Dr. Al Unger talk about. I think, you know, when we really understand food and the mechanics of food and GMO versus organic versus non-organic, we sort of bring to an attention an awareness of what we're putting into our body, which I think is really important, and what's actually from the outside, what's affecting our food system, whether it's pesticides, whether it's agricultural, you know, unsustainable agricultural, you know, corporate farming, you know, but really understanding the nature of the food and what's in the soil, you know, and the nutrients in the soil and how that, you know, that ends up getting into our body. And if those nutrients and or lack of nutrients aren't in the soil, then really we're depleting our body. So I think there's a lot of inspiration. I think the ultimate one is really just our interconnectedness, you know, with nature, which I think many, many people, you know, will be able to relate to. You know, everyone sort of has their own sort of spiritual path, whether they're a Buddhist, a Jew, Christian, whatever their denomination or faith. You know, there's always peace of mind, you know, in a garden or in nature. And I think there's a lot of illumination with a lot of great, you know, thought leaders that really sort of bring some of this great ancient wisdom of our relationship with the trees, and not to be sort of like in a hippy-dippy way, but to really understand our fundamental interconnectedness with the natural world. So I think there's a lot in that film to really pull from. I think, you know, I'm sure when they're actually sitting and experiencing the film, I'm sure there'll be different moments where they'll actually be able to really identify certain things for themselves.
Very good. And just to remind everyone, we're speaking about the film Rooted in Peace. And there's going to be a film screening with the New York Open Center in New York City. And you can go to the website opencenter.org to read more about it or to register for the film. And you can click on or search for the Rooted in Peace, and you will find this page on the Open Center website where you can actually view a trailer of the film, and you can register for it. And it's Thursday, July 13th at 8 p.m. with the New York Open Center. I'm not sure if the location is actually in the center. Do you know, Greg?
It will be at the center. And also there'll be a woman, Genevieve, who works at the David Lynch Foundation, who will be joining me for the Q&A afterwards.
Oh, wonderful.
She's an amazing teacher of transcendental meditation, and she'll be with me for the talk after the presentation's over. There have been a lot of questions that have come out of the screenings about people are always asking about meditation and the benefits of meditation and how it affects the brain. And so we thought it would be really good to have somebody from the David Lynch Foundation to come and join me to really talk a little bit about that and how they can get involved and how they can actually, you know, put good things in their hearts and minds. So Genevieve will be there as well to join me for the Q&A. Yeah, it really should be a great night and a really great experience. I mean, anyone that's really seeking, that's really into mind, body, health. I mean, the thing about what's scary today is, you know, I'm sure each of us have a friend that's, you know, suffering in some way or has cancer. It's pretty scary when we think about what's really happening. And I think really what's really unique about this film is that it's really an alternative to really providing some deep, you know, answers. It doesn't give all the answers, but it really helps people to sort of get on a program, you know, to start to have a sense of awareness, which I think is really the first step, you know, in terms of a mind, body, spirit, you know, type path.
Excellent. So it's a film screening and afterwards a talk and Q&A. So that's really special.
Correct.
Because people will be able to connect, but even connect with each other. Because when you go to an event like that, there's always an opportunity to connect with like-minded people who are in the audience. So this is at the New York Open Center, 22 East 30th Street in New York. And the Open Center, their number is 212-219-2527. Again, that's 212-219-2527. Or you could go to the website opencenter.org, opencenter.org, and you'll see a screening, a little trailer of this movie, and you can register right online. So, Greg, tell me if you have other information or website you'd like people to have to connect with your work.
Sure. I mean, I think that the ideal website is, you know, for information about the film, which is www.rootedinpeace.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great website. It's got all of the different, you know, luminaries that are in the film. It provides a lot of additional information. I even put together, like, you know, an FAQ, frequently asked questions. Like, there were about 20 questions. You know, I was just getting a lot of information of people, you know, asking about the film. So we put together an FAQ, which I think is a really good sort of downloadable piece of information to help people along the way. And obviously it's got, you know, our merchandise. It's got the DVD, the Blu-ray, the CD. The film is available nationwide in Whole Foods right now, so those that are looking to purchase the DVD or the Blu-ray, they can find it in Whole Foods at the cash register. And it's really an exciting time for those that are in New York, you know, to come out, you know, for a great night of entertainment. I mean, I guarantee that they will have a fabulous time at the Open Center.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sacred space. And also, I think, you know, watching a film, going to a screening, being able to meet you, the filmmaker, and ask questions of some of the information that's in the film. It's a wonderful experience. And, you know, nothing can really give you more than an actual experience. And that's Thursday, July 13th at 8 p.m. at the New York Open Center, 22 East 30th Street in New York, Manhattan, 10016, and the number is 212-219-2527. Opencenter.org is the website. So thank you so much, Greg, for joining us. Do you have like a final message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing is everything starts from within. And, you know, I think just to be open. And I think that you're definitely up for a great night of entertainment. You know, I definitely, you know, feel that everyone that comes and sees the film loves the film and has lots of questions. So hopefully people will come out Thursday night and join me at the New York Open Center. I hope, are you planning on coming, Catherine?
If I can, I definitely will. I think it'll be, I had an opportunity, I believe, to see your film once before and I didn't make it. I'm really
it was playing in New York during the time in December.
Yeah,
yeah, so hopefully you'll come out and see it.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So thank you very, very much for being with me today on Heart of Mind Radio.
Pleasure.
But all right, bye for now.
Bye now.
And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And what I would love for you to do is to, after the show airs, you can go to the website PRN.FM, and you will be able to link on to all the information we're giving you in today's show, both segments, as well as an opportunity to connect with myself. For those of you who want to do that, you can always send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And you can ask questions about the radio program or about the other work that I am doing in the world. And I thought I would take a moment and share some of that with you. We have an ongoing meditation and movement for body wellness and stress reduction. It's a class, a session that goes on at Studio Maya. That's in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street. And it's every Saturday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. And this really is part of the practice of Qigong. But it's, Qigong is really the cultural name for it. This is entirely a mind-body practice. And it works to stretch your muscles, increase flexibility of the joints, dissolve body tension and pain, ease your mind to let go of stress, regulate circulation and elimination, and revitalize your life's energy. So it really is a way of getting the focus back into the center and into the core. So you can find out more about that again with that email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Or you can call 347-480-1694 and leave a message for me there. On today's program, we had two pieces of music that we featured. The opening theme is Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. And we had a transitional piece called Heaven by Jai Utal. So I want to give honor to that music and also say thank you for joining us here on Heart of Mind Radio. And we will be here again on Saturday at 6 p.m. Please do tune in, tell your friends about it, cast the word so that we can continue to build our following, our listeners in this time frame. So I want to thank you. I have been and remain Catherine for Heart of Mind Radio and for the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And I want to invite you to stay tuned to this internet station, this radio station, for more fabulous programming. Take care and have a beautiful week.